And good morning, hello, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may be, because this is a podcast as much as it is a radio show. This is Big Honkin' Steve along with you on the Big Honkin' Show. I'm glad to have back with me for an episode once again of the Buck and Steve Show. Buck and Steve. My good friend and yours. Mr. Buck Thompson. Buck, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you,
Steve? I am excited you're back.
I'm pumped. I'm pumped right now.
We're having all kinds of internet problems.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that takes away a lot of our ability to work right off the bat.
It's amateur radio once
it
again.
Is. We're recording.
Oh, yeah.
So there's
We're on right now.
We're on, yes.
I don't believe you.
And there's no technical difficulties as of yet, so we're doing good. We're doing good. We are glad to have you with the Big Honkin' Show. Want to welcome you along. We're sponsored by Griffin Insurance, your local Grange dealer. You can get in touch with them. They have several accounts in Hazelhurst now. You can call them at 1-800-867-1503, and we really appreciate their sponsorship of the show. Today we're going to do something special when we're done here in studio, and we're going to head to my, I'm using my quote fingers, recording studio.
Yeah,
and do
quote fingers for sure.
And do a special edition, kind of an extra 5 or 6 minutes for the show that we don't know if we could do on air. Not because it's dirty or filthy, but just because we didn't know the rules. We are amateurs, so we didn't know the rules. So for you who are listening by podcast, you've got a little something extra coming your way. And if you want to find out what we're talking about, head over to BigHonkinShow.com. BigHonkinShow.com should be up on a Monday.
It'll be a hidden track.
It will be. It's like on a CD, hidden track.
Right.
How do you feel about hidden tracks on CDs?
It's a surprise I'm not usually ready to deal with.
Whose idea was the first hidden track?
Well, especially...
Where did that concept come from?
You know, you're trying to copy somebody else's CD, okay, and then you get the tracks all off and...
Oh my gosh. When you're illegally downloading music, it will mess
you up. It's horrible.
Or when you import it into, like, your iTunes.
Right.
And, like, someone puts their hidden track after, like, 30 tracks of just, like, 3 seconds of silence, and you're like, I don't want all this on my iTunes, and... You have to go and delete it all.
It's very frustrating.
It's a headache. But we are. I'm glad to have you here. But last week I was really rude to you, in as much as I didn't let you really tell about yourself at all.
I cried for days.
You did.
It was.
You were in a little ball, just kind of.
The fetal position is the primary.
Well, that's where we go for safety.
Right.
That's where we go for safety. One thing about you that you may or may not want people to know, but they're about to know because I'm going to tell them.
Great.
Is you understand the mystery of the chicken?
Yeah.
You are in tune with one of the most thoughtful animals in the world.
Thoughtful.
I'm fascinated by animals. We talked a little bit about animals last week. We talked about the guy who was flinging jellyfish at the kids.
A little intoxicated.
Little bit. But you have worked in chickens for a large part of your life.
This is true.
To date. And chickens just appear to be thoughtful. Because the way they kind of look around and tilt their head. You do a great chicken impersonation that one can see.
I'm doing it right now. You... This doesn't really work
on
the radio.
You're not, but if you were, it would own me because I absolutely love your chicken impersonation. Chickens, thoughtful animals or dumb animals?
It's probably the dumbest animal God ever created.
Really?
It's made to eat.
It's
and that's the only purpose
that's
it serves.
That's the purpose of the
and lay eggs.
Is this why a lot of vegetarians will eat chicken?
I think so.
Because they're like, you know what, you're just so stupid, I'm going
to
eat you.
It's like gnats. They have no purpose. Except to eat.
Well, I've got a friend that he lets gnats get on his cut. He says that cleans it out.
That's disturbing. You think that's a lie? That's disturbing.
The reason I ask is because PETA, our good friends at PETA, the
people eating tasty animals.
People.
Right. I've heard of them.
What it's people for the ethical, I mean, what they really call themselves are people for the ethical treatment of animals, right?
I don't believe it.
Anyhow, they want to turn a Virginia prison into a chicken museum. Troutville, Virginia, This comes from the Associated Press. An animal rights group wants to rent a prison building the state plans to close and turn it into the nation's first chicken empathy museum. A People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals official sent PETA. What up, PETA?
PETA.
Sent a letter Monday to Governor Tim Kaine asking to rent the Botetourt Correctional Center building in Troutville. Kaine spokeswoman Linda Tran said the state doesn't lease to private entities except for cases grandfathered in when it purchases buildings. PETA spokeswoman Ashley Byrne said the Norfolk-based group thinks a former prison is the ideal setting for exhibits on what it contends is mistreatments of chickens raised for slaughter. Ryman said the museum also would have displays detailing chickens' habits and intelligence. So, PETA obviously thinks that these animals are wise, smart animals.
Is the prison just one room? Because I don't really see how you can make a whole museum about
it's to chickens. Help you empathize with the chickens, man.
Well, you know, just dress in a chicken costume and standing on the corner for about an hour, you'll empathize with chickens.
What? How do you empathize with chickens in a chicken costume?
Because you'll be in a costume.
You'll be
Steve.
In a costume and you'll be looking
and it's
around.
Hot.
It is hot. It is especially around
and
here.
People hate chickens and they'll throw things at you.
Here is. And this is going to be a theme today, apparently.
Chickens?
Well, animals and what people do for animals.
Okay.
I mean, last week we got into it a little bit. You know,
can we talk about that, Steve?
I mean, well, what I'm saying, like, can we talk about last week? Or can we just let that one rest?
Yeah.
No sense in bringing up the
right,
past.
Yeah.
This is one of those things that just perplex me because I'm going to be honest with you. Don't want to go to a chicken museum.
No.
If I wanted to go to a chicken museum, I'd drive out towards South Appling County.
That's right. SAC.
To a family I know who has some chicken houses.
Yeah, wish,
and
wish
I would
you had
walk.
Done.
I'd walk down the middle of
That's
the chicken
right.
houses and just say, "Oh, look, chickens."
Yeah.
Obviously, though, they're wanting to let people feel that. What kind of attractions would be in a chicken museum? Do you think? Lay your own egg.
Maybe. That would be, and once again, that would involve a chicken suit
right.
that you would have to put on.
What else would be there? I have no idea
yeah.
what you would do in a chicken museum.
Drawing a blank on that one.
Do you just look at a bunch of different kinds of chickens? How many different kinds of chickens are there?
I don't think you'd be able to speak in a chicken museum. It would be, you would have to take the form of the chicken
no.
and then run at everything because it scares you to death. And once you see that thing again, run again because you have no memory.
Now, chickens do... you have no memory, so you just see it and you
right.
run again.
Yeah.
Chickens are not smart, but they are fast.
Very fast,
I mean, there is
yes.
the speed of a chicken. If you want to be a boxer and you want to develop speed, chase a chicken. I learned that from Rocky II.
Yeah, and that is very true.
Rocky, you'll...
Once they get out, it's horrible.
Yeah. Have you ever had to chase a chicken
yes.
in your experience?
Yeah.
What was that like?
The worst experience of my
Did
life.
Did you
I think.
Catch the chicken?
Eventually, I think we threw a net on it or something
a
like
net.
That.
A net?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
netted the chicken?
You have to. Or back them into a corner. That's the only
if
way you
If you
can
back
do it.
A chicken in the corner, won't they get you with their little spurs, though?
No, because they're so dumb.
There's.
Till they what can't really defend themselves.
Now, what about the noble fighting rooster?
I don't have any experience with that.
You don't
Steve.
Have. Oh, I don't. I know you don't. No, I know you
Looking
don't.
Suspiciously.
But I'm saying that in all your experience, you know. I mean, are they not? Are they dumb too?
They're very aggressive. It's just their
mad.
Instinct.
They're
yeah.
just mad.
Yeah,
they're just
they would
off.
Be mad at you or another chicken.
So their response, whereas a chicken's response would be fear when it sees something, their response is
anger.
Peck that thing to
right.
death. They're just gonna.
Right,
go to town.
And I'm gonna give you the big secret here. I don't know that I should give the family farm secret away like this. But to catch a chicken,
yeah.
just wait till it's dark.
What is that supposed
they can't
to
see?
They
can't see in the dark, Steve.
Well, who can?
If you got a flashlight, you can.
But then you shine the flashlight.
No,
on
you don't shine it on them. You shine
just
it away
near
from
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just near it.
Exactly.
That makes no sense
whatsoever.
To me. So how, I mean, but anyhow, I don't know, PETA, we're going to talk a little bit more in a little while about the whole idea of let's really love our animals to the point of costing us personal comfort and right. jobs and employment.
Right, yeah.
And so, but we'll get there. I'm super stoked to have you along.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Because you bring so much expertise about so many things.
Well, you know, I had a pretty long week this week, Steve. I did a lot of show preparation.
Yeah,
Yeah, I did a little independent survey on my own of our listeners. And the results were pretty good. Just a few questions I asked them. 60% of our listeners thought it was an extraordinary show last week. yeah. Now, and
well, how did they know?
I'm not sure.
They listened on the radio?
Yes, they had to have.
So you asked three people.
Okay, well, this is the rest of the survey here.
So two out of three
okay,
people.
Okay, 60% thought it was great.
Yes.
30% thought it was at least above par, okay. Which, I mean, that's good you know, I mean, I know I've had a long career on the radio, but, and 10% voted for chili dogs, so.
Well, I've got to find myself in that 10%.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that's where I'm at.
That was you I asked.
We should get chili dogs after
that
the show.
That would be great.
I don't really like chili dogs.
Can someone bring us chili dogs?
All right, we're looking for chili dogs at 10 o'clock in the morning. It's 10:11 right now. 11 minutes after the top of the hour, and we're looking for chili dogs here on the radio. So come on out to the studios, bring us some chili dogs.
Your mom's cooking right now.
She's like, Ben, that's my dad's name. I got to get in there and cook them some chili dogs now. They want chili dogs. Can you throw the dogs on the grill? I need to call them and find out if they want them grilled or if they want them
Tell
boiled.
That sweet boy to come by after the
Just
show.
Just tell him to come on by after the show. We'll have y'all some chili dogs if that's what y'all want. Y'all want some sweet potato fries, too?
Ooh, that's good times.
Good Southern hospitality, sir.
That's right.
Good Southern hospitality. Now, Buck, this is something you didn't realize, but we have to acknowledge this moment in history today. Get your patch, get your hook, get
I'm
your
pumped.
Peg leg.
I'm pumped. I'm putting my makeup on right now.
Today is the International Talk Like a Pirate Day. International Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what that means or why it exists. All I know is any excuse to walk around and go to McDonald's and they're like, welcome to McDonald's, may I take your order, please? Arr, me be wanting your Filet-O-Fish sandwich. Really, sir? Is that what you want? No, I want Chicken McNuggets.
That's almost disturbing.
Get me. The thing about talking like a pirate is you get to say things like booty.
Booty.
And it's okay because you're talking about something, you know, completely. You're like, kill all the booty, matey. And you got to say matey with everything. Try it out. It's fun.
I'm not sure that I have a...
If you'll start with the R, it really feels good.
Arg.
Arg.
I do what?
Huh? Well, you can't just grunt. You're not the...
I'm not a very intimidating pirate.
You're not a very intimidating pirate at all.
I would negotiate. Can I please take your boat now? I'm gonna take your boat.
Hi guys.
Make you walk the plank.
Hi guys. Just Stop. Wondering. I really like your boat and would love to plunder it.
Well, you could. we're gonna put you on trading boats instead of trading spaces.
Arr, what we're doing here with Captain John's boaty is we're taking the mainsail and we're making it a pleasant crimson to splash against the blue sky.
I think whites and pinks would go great with the water.
Trading boats.
That's right.
Trading pirate ships.
Yeah.
That would be... Now, listen, I'm not a big fan of reality TV. That's something I would watch.
I'm going to talk to TLC this week about
call
that.
Call them up. Let's call... I wish we had their number. We'd call them up right now.
I do, but I'm not... Call the producers. I can't give it out.
That needs to be our thing. We need to start... We need to get numbers of producers of television shows and like, television corporations, and we need to call them on air and pitch ridiculous television show
ideas. That would be a great idea.
And we could do it in pirate voices for this one. Arr! This here be Peg Leg Patch Eye Longbeard the Third. I have a proposal for you, matey. I was watching your show Trading Spaces, and I thought to myself, there's a lot of booty to be had in trading pirate ships.
Can you say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Booty is like the loot. The loot. So
like Booty Bay.
I don't know anything about Booty Bay. Well, here's the thing, throughout the rest of the morning for you, the listener, because we do this kind of stuff for you, the
listener. That's right.
We are going to make sure, we're going to make sure that every single
one of you,
we're going to make sure that we're entertaining you with our pirate talk throughout the day. Right now, though, we're going to take a break here on the Big Honkin' Show so that we can pay some bills and let you know about some of the greatest businesses and sponsors in the world.
Business.
Arr, we have many businesses for you to patron, matey. We'll be right back. On the Big Honkin' Show, plugging along. I want to quote Buck right now as we went to that last commercial. Can't believe we just wasted 20 minutes. That's right. What we do. It's the fastest hour in radio every Saturday morning. Couple of shout outs really quickly. Number one, my refrigerator went out the other week.
Where did it go?
It took a chest freezer out.
Man,
they really hit it off, and now they're going to get married.
Wow, that was new technology coming.
Let me tell you where we just went. We just went like way up here.
Yeah.
My refrigerator broke down, messed up, and could not be repaired.
You didn't call me.
Well, I should have. But anyhow,
I'm Buck the Builder.
Buck the Builder.
That's right.
Anyhow, the repairman who is trained to do this sort of thing, he came.
That's a plus.
That's right. He came and looked at it and basically said, the compressor shot, it cost you more to do this. And so there I am, stuck without a fridge.
That stinks.
Trying to save my landlord, who's a great man and really good to me, trying to save him some money. I started kind of hunting around. Anybody got a fridge? And my good friends, Eric and Candace King, came through.
Great
and
people.
They're not listening right now because they're at home watching Smallville.
Wow.
So getting called up for the new season.
That's
we're in the
okay.
We're in the middle of the new, television season.
But that's okay. We can understand Smallville.
I understand.
Right.
But we're in the middle of the new television season. So they're getting caught up, getting ready to go. Also, I guess we need to shout out to who else? Kyler, who's listening
today, right.
Our good friend Kyler.
Mr. Howell, Waycross, Georgia.
Do that for do
I do what?
That owns me, sir. Huh? That just owns me. I love... Arr, I tell you, you have a place on the boat, matey.
I do
what if you did like a pirate survivor?
That would
be great. You have to walk the plank when you're voted off.
Mm.
Hello, is this CBS? Arr, this here be Captain Greybeard Man.
You don't really have a beard?
No. But that's not the point.
How would you walk on a wooden leg, Steve?
How would... it depends on whose wooden leg it is.
Maybe like a 4x4? Or...
For me, yeah, I'd need a 4x4.
Okay.
And you could hear the...
Which would be intimidating.
That's right. Well, the chickens would run.
That's right. So. Yeah. Because they're always
every
scared.
Time.
The
every
chickens
time.
Are restless, Steve.
Every time they'd run. One of the things that has happened in the life of this show, all 3 weeks of it.
Hey. That's fine.
Is my vehemence. Do you know that word?
I'm looking on my BlackBerry right now.
My hatred for
your anger,
for infomercials and the products which they sell has come about. I'm thinking of doing a study on just what is out there for sure.
Right.
And it's in, I mean, it's just like, this is not something I ever intended to go past like the first show. I forget what I was talking about on the first show, but this is something I never
intended. Chia Obama.
And this is something I never intended to go past first show. Last week, we got an email from Jason that didn't get read on the podcast, but got read on the radio show because, right. Well, we didn't record. And are we recording now?
I don't know.
Okay. If we're not, we'd like to apologize to those of you listening who listen by podcast. We are.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyhow, Jason had sent us an email and said, hey, why don't you talk about infomercials? So we started talking infomercials a little bit, got off on the Snuggie, which I absolutely despise because when you put it on, it looks like you're in a cult.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does.
Or you're a monk,
yeah. It looks like you should be doing this. It looks like this is how you should speak when you wear a Snuggie. Could you pass me the remote control? Because you chant.
I do what?
Arr! Thank you, because you made the joke not fall flat. You gotta listen, even if it's not funny, just humor me.
Okay.
I need you.
How was that?
That works great. But there are a few other items that come about. You number one, I did finally see the dog Snuggie.
I've never seen it.
Dude, it's basically a blanket with sleeves for your dog. And huh. you take the Snuggie on the blanket and you have the dog step in it and you Velcro it on the back and suddenly it's got a little Snuggie. Here's my thing with that though. It's like the commercial for that showed them trying to put these dog sweaters on the dogs. And they were killing the dogs to do it. I mean, they literally were.
That just sedated them, actually.
They probably did. They were probably fake dogs that they made just for the commercial because they were doing some heinous things to the dogs to get the little doggy sweaters on them in the commercial to show how stupid they were. Right. They couldn't put on a doggy sweater.
I'm sure PETA was upset.
I'm sure they were. But you got the Snuggie, the dog Snuggie, the fashion Snuggie, which just looks like you're in a cult with leopard stripes. Or leopard spots and zebra stripes. Hey.
Stop.
Yeah. but then there's some other thing. You sent me an email and it had the dual saw thing.
That's right.
That
yeah.
has like reverse yeah. spinning blades too.
It's pretty expensive.
I don't
though.
Believe it.
Yeah, it's a pretty expensive product, Steve. I mean, anything that costs a lot of money, it's got to be good, right?
Well, you would think so.
Right.
But, I mean, it didn't seem like it could do much except cut things.
It cut a car in half. I saw it.
They did not cut a car
they
in
did.
Half. Did they? Is that
yes.
what they
on,
did?
On the full 30-minute infomercial you see sometimes.
So you watched the whole thing?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Is this something that had you had the money you would have been sucked in to buy?
If I had a need for it, probably.
Yeah. Well, then we found some other things. And, well, I was watching TV, and there were some things that just kind of really made me mad. For example. As our...
I do what?
I do... Was that English? For example.
Huh?
The Perfect Brownie Pan. Have you seen The Perfect Brownie Pan?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, let's listen to it and see. What we
you
got here.
Cut, rip, and tear. But your brownies never turn out square. And when they're stuck, you're totally out of luck. Need a hand? Now there's Perfect Brownie Pan. The new nonstick way to bake, slice, and serve perfect brownies. You try it. Just pour in your favorite batter, insert the divider, and bake. Yum. 18 chocolatey brownies sliced all at once. The reason? The durable nonstick coating. Not even 18 marshmallow treats will stick. And look, the bottom and sides separate. So anytime it goes on this rack, Perfect Brownie becomes the sweetest party serving tray.
Cool!
Serve crazy top brownies for birthdays,
crazy
marble
top swirl
crazy. For graduation, or delicious double fudge brownies at your very own bake sale.
Double fudge?
Oh, no.
You can't
Someone
have a bake sale without
again.
This thing.
The solution? This patent-pending design which bakes each brownie separately.
Which means we can rip it off and get the patent.
And chewy outside.
We're probably being sued right now.
You can use Perfect Brownie Pan.
Okay, here's the thing with the Perfect Brownie Pan. It's basically, they take a pan and they cut the bottom out and made it so that it would separate from like a normal pan.
Okay.
And then they took strips of metal and crisscrossed them And when you pour the brownie batter in, you stick those strips of metal in there, and basically your brownie's cut. Here's my problem with this commercial. Number one, the rhyming at the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, they all these commercials, that's one thing they have in common, is they all rhyme, as we will see in Exhibit B in a second. But the other thing is, it's like, are you tired of not being able to make perfect brownies? I want to just say, then follow the instructions on the box. It's not hard.
It doesn't really mean eggs when it says eggs.
Well, I mean,
you can use water
if you
or extra oil.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, grease your pan, follow the instructions on the box. Now, if they were selling this as everybody likes the edge of the brownies, so here's something we've made, that'd be a completely different
everybody
product.
Everybody does,
but there's right, but I'm saying that's a completely different product. They're selling this product as though it is God's gift to bakers
right.
everywhere. And I just don't see it. It just kind of, it's one of those things that tick me off when I'm watching
TV. And you're pretty passionate about brownies.
Well, I'm probably more passionate about the perfect brownies every time pan than I should be.
Right.
You know, I'm probably a little more angry.
There may be some underlying issues here.
There may be something
we'll
deeper
some counseling,
going
yeah.
on. But it's just like, it's the stupidity of it, because they're like, I'm like, you follow the instructions, right. you know, yeah. that's all you have to do. The other one that really ticks me off is this thing. It's the touch and go or touch and brush commercial. Now, do you know what I'm talking about with the touch and brush? That has some particular... Well, let's just listen. Let's listen to the touch and brush commercial here.
You squeeze, you roll, you press. Now your bathroom looks a mess.
That is the whitest guy in the world trying to sound street. You roll, you squeeze, you press. Now your bathroom looks a mess.
Word.
Why is it impossible to get out the last drop of toothpaste?
Because you're a moron.
There's got to be a better way.
Sure there is.
There is, yeah. Follow the instructions.
Touch and Brush, the hands-free toothpaste dispenser that works with just a touch. Touch and Brush works with virtually any size tube and secures easily onto any surface in seconds without any tools. Insert your favorite toothpaste, then pop on the cover. There's no electric or batteries to replace. It's that easy. Touch and Brush neatly dispenses the perfect amount of toothpaste in just 1 second every time. So now sticky bathroom sinks are a thing of the past. The secret is our patented technology, Vacuum Force. As the toothbrush gently pushes the pump arm, Vacuum Force pulls fresh toothpaste from the tube.
Okay, it's the technology of Vacuum Force, a.k.a. gravity.
Right.
Their patented technology is gravity.
Well,
as the thing is squeezed. Anyhow, this goes on. Listen.
It dispenses it right on the brush.
Right,
and the best
the
part is, Touch and Brush uses every last bit of toothpaste, so there's no struggling for that last drop. Then when you're done, simply place in a new one, and you're ready to touch and brush again. Tired of the kids leaving behind a morning mess? No problem, because now it's easy and cool to brush before school. You can
it's
even
easy
apply
and cool to brush
just
before
one
school.
Hand.
Whereas before, it used to be difficult and not so cool.
Not so cool at all. Because clean teeth are not cool.
Clean teeth are like, you're a total loser if you have good teeth.
Yeah.
That's why everybody has braces.
And amazing! Touch and Brush looks great with any bathroom decor and is also available in this elegant chrome finish.
They've got an elegant
chrome?
Yes.
But you can get Touch and Brush today.
I don't understand how to get the chrome look on those suction cups.
Just $19.99. But hold
there.
Everything. Call right now
hold
to
everything.
Include this Sonic 4X toothbrush.
They include the toothbrush. Now, here's my thing with the Touch and Brush. If you're going to market this, if you're going to sell this thing, and you want to market something like this, because all it is these suction cups, and it has a little device wherein you stick the toothpaste tube. And the toothpaste tube is hanging upside down, and when you clip the cover on it, you press a button, and it basically squeezes out.
What if it were one of those Sam's size toothpaste things?
It would not fit in there.
It says it almost any.
Almost is the key word there.
I'm not going
to
buy it.
You can't be expecting Sam's big booty to fit in the toothpaste dispenser.
I do what?
But if they were marketing this thing to people with arthritis, I mean, that is a reasonable thing. But to look at kids and be like, it's fun and cool again.
Well, my experience in advertising, Steve,
is
you make it so that it's only to older individuals, then you're not going to sell the millions to these people with kids that don't know how to brush their teeth.
Do you have as much experience in advertising as you do, say, radio?
Well, yes. Well, maybe a little more radio experience, actually.
A little more radio experience in advertising.
Yeah.
So
this show has doubled my my own airtime, actually. Since there's only been two shows and
right
that I were on.
Right, that you were on. Yeah. That I were on. That I was that on. That I have been on.
Word.
That I am currently doing.
Apostrophe.
Arr, you need to work on your English there, matey.
There's a niner in there somewhere.
You must make sure your predicate and your subject agree. What if pirates were like all about subject verb agreement in their life? They were all about good grammar. You just conjugated the verb wrong. Walk the plank, matey. Also, we voted you off.
I do. That's all I got.
That's all you got with the pirate?
Yeah.
I would love to hear you try to talk like a pirate. I would love to hear you do. It's international talk. The day of all days is the day you can do it.
I don't know. You know, maybe maybe towards the end of the hour, Steve.
Maybe as we wind down.
We'll bring Buck the Pirate in.
As we wind down the hour, we'll bring Buck the Pirate in. We've got a couple more stories for you when we come back from this break, particularly one that would appeal to you, and that is the boy in Alabama.
To me?
Yeah.
Oh,
the boy in Alabama that faked his own kidnapping. So we need to talk about that because I feel like that's something that is plaguing our children today as we speak. Is they want bad grades.
Wait.
What are you...
It's plaguing the children?
Yes. The bad grades.
So millions of children are faking their kidnapping?
Well, millions of them got a good idea this week.
That's true.
And we'll talk about that when we come back.
Get up off of that thing and dance to you better. Get up off of that thing and dance to you. Sing it now. Get up off of that thing and dance to you better. Get up off of that thing.
Not a dead man's chest, yo ho ho, and a bottle of rum.
Avast there, mates! We're sailing with Long John, Blackbeard, Big Leg, Petty Hook, the scourge of the bounty main. Bloodthirsty as Blackhorn his pirate captain ever sailed the seven seas. What say ye? We hoist the Jolly Roger, heel over to yonder Spanish galleon, lay a few broadsides again at timbers, swing over there on these here lanyards with our cutlasses in our teeth, cut up the ribbons and split the booty. What say ye to that, me hearties, eh?
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
I don't like it and I don't want to do it. It's tacky. And don't look at me that way.
Well, if you don't like it, what do you want?
I want to sing and dance. I want to sing and dance. I want to be a
pirate. Yeah, that's too much.
The great Ray Stevens brings us back in with the pirate song. Fitting,
classic.
Fitting for today. Of all days. Buck, we mentioned it on the way out. An 11-year-old boy in Alabama. This comes from, once again, the Associated Press.
The AP, that's right.
Dateline Huntsville, Alabama. An 11-year-old boy gets high marks in storytelling after staging a hoax to cover up his bad grades. Police say the boy faked his kidnapping Friday to avoid bringing home a bad report card, saying that a man with a pistol snatched him after he left Ed White Middle School. The boy said the man forced him into a beat-up car, quotation marks there, and threatened to kill him. The student said he escaped by jumping out of the car but wasn't able to grab his book bag, which contained the report card. He ran to his grandparents' house and later confessed to lying. His grandfather called the police to apologize. Sergeant Mark Roberts, this is great detective work here, said police were suspicious that the boy was able to escape with his band instrument but not his book bag. They've obviously never hung out with band geeks.
Yeah.
Robert says the boy faces no charges at this time.
Well, the trombone is expensive to replace, Steve.
Well, my tuba.
He was able to get his tuba out of the
back
of the pickup.
That's right.
Moving down the road.
The kid did that. You work with kids in your job, as do I. Yes. You work with a different kid. You work with kids in a different way than I do.
Correct.
Though. You're a correctional...
I'm a juvenile probation and parole officer for the state of Georgia.
Do
I? I do.
And you had a situation on an April Fool's joke.
Well, I probably shouldn't tell this, but I'm going to.
Okay.
I'm not going to say where I work because I'd probably be fired tomorrow.
Sure.
But
because they're listening.
Right. Yeah. They are. Yeah. They are. I told them all about it. They'll be listening to the podcast Monday. But anyways, we were going to visit some children in the local RYDC, which is the Regional Youth Detention Center.
Sure.
And we have to do that, somebody from our office every week, just to kind of check in, things like that. And a lot of these kids aren't assigned to us, but we see them for our coworkers so that they don't have to go also.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're in there, and it is April Fool's of last year, or this year. And a lot of the questions we get from the kids are, you know, like, I haven't been to court yet. I just got locked up. When am I going to get out? And what do you think the judge is going to do to me? And a lot of times I say, well, you know, our judge normally takes our recommendations, us being the state of Georgia. And this little girl, she's probably 14 years old and real sincere. She says, what do you think he's going to do? And the first thing, it's April Fool's, it pops into my mind. I was going to say, but I refrained my tongue. We're going to ask for the death penalty. But I refrained myself, and I gave her an appropriate answer.
Oh, so you didn't say that?
No.
My God.
Yeah, that ruins the story completely.
That does.
Once she left, I told my coworker, and we had a good chuckle about it.
I would have listened if you'd have told me that you.
I would have probably
kid,
been fired.
You probably would have. But
yeah.
That's worth it. No.
Furloughs
not,
are bad enough, Steve.
Not in this
really,
economy.
Yeah.
Not in this economy.
I don't know.
We've received a few texts coming in to the station as we were in break. We noticed a few. I was asked to have a moment of silence for Billy Mays. I'm not going to do that for two reasons. Number one, we've talked about it before on the show. Number two, because that's dead air. Then we were also told that there's a Snuggie Day in Chicago, which basically, I guess, looks like the Satanist parade. I mean, I can't see anything but a bunch of cult members walking down the streets of Chicago celebrating Snuggies. And then someone else said, I think that's all I got.
So that was it. Thanks, Mom, for the text.
Thank you, Mom. My mom can text now. She's on Facebook.
That is wonderful.
That is weird.
You know, they just hit 300 million users on Facebook.
That's almost the population of Georgia.
Almost.
So
yeah.
that's Alaska combined.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
All 57 states.
Buck, I said we'd talk about this, and I feel like we need to. We've only got a few minutes to really discuss it. And that's probably a good thing.
You lie.
Fox News reported the other day, and now it is Fox News. Let me say this. This is, I guess we need to go into our political segment, don't we?
Unfortunately.
If we're going to talk about this, we need to go.
All three users are fixing to turn the radio off.
Right, right. We're about to tick off everybody. It is politics, but I'm all right.
I'm all right.
This is politics. This is our segment we like to call Conserve This.
Conserve This.
Now, Buck, you and I both have rather political conservative swings to our makeup.
Which I'm not wearing
in
my makeup today.
In our station in life. Quick, Buck, entertain the people while I pick up the...
He's actually doing the worm right now. He's dancing. It's actually, he dropped his BlackBerry. That's pretty expensive piece of equipment there, Steve, to just throw at me across the studio room.
Well, we have... we're having internet difficulties out here, so I have to use the BlackBerry. Fox News reported, here's the thing, I'll be the first to admit that while Fox is fair, they're not necessarily balanced.
I disagree.
They have a very conservative slant to
their reporting. They have a lot of conservative personalities, but I believe that they're people who report news only, like Brett Baer and some of the others, are very fair and balanced.
Yeah, well, I mean...
But their programming, on the other hand, is strictly conservative.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So, and as with any of these 24-hour news channels, mm-hmm. There's a lot of editorializing that goes on. But there was a report the other night. Here it is. California's Central Valley is considered by many to be the richest and most productive farmland in the nation, but this land is being threatened by the small, harmless-looking minnow called the Delta Smelt.
The Delta Smelt.
Delta Smelt, bad. Recently, it landed on the endangered species list, causing a federal court to shut down vital pumps to farmers to help preserve it. Sarah Wolf from Wastelands Water District. This is the pumping station, and it is pumped out the delta here and brought into the canal system, and it makes its way. This is all like the transcript from the actual report. Sarah Wolf is a spokesperson for the Wastelands Water District, a company that oversees the man-made complicated water delivery system to the Central Valley. It's been in process since 1968. Two-thirds of the state of California have depended on the water for their crops. The water is turned off. None of the farmers can expect to get any. 2 years ago, there was a canal full of gushing water irrigating the farmland, and now it's all dried up because the pumps were turned off after environmentalists won a federal court case. So we've got a situation where I think it's something like 38,000 jobs.
There, the farmers in that area, I do believe, are about 40% unemployed.
37,000 jobs have been lost due to the smelt issue, and that number is rising higher by the day, says, in one town in California. Unemployment is up to an astonishing 40%, as you said. Look at you.
That's right. Hey, I know my facts, Steve. And you doubted me.
Here's the thing. In this economic time, all right, in our nation, how are you going to have 37,000 people just be out of a job over a fish? Listen, I can fix this problem.
Okay.
I can go to your pet store.
Uh-huh.
Get one of them little green nets that you use when you have to get your fish out to just scoop up some fish and take them to a fish farm somewhere. Yeah. I guarantee you those minnows will multiply.
Well, you know, I'm sure there's some federal stimulus money out there that would pay for them to go scoop those little fish up and save those farmers' jobs. They're paying for every other insect to be studied. Why not this little minnow? Minnow.
Well, it's a minnow. It's a bitty fish.
Basically, that's what it is, yes. Something we would fish like a shiner.
That's what I'm going to say. Yeah. I can go down. I got a bait store. I can go get them some minnows. If they want minnows, I can go to the bait store and get some. My thing is what is it really going to do to the ecosystem if this thing... And I don't think this thing would go extinct. That's the thing I think that people don't understand is I have a hard time believing this thing's going to go extinct.
When it, I don't
because
I don't
fish
care.
Fish are smarter than chickens, but
well, they are. Yeah, they are. And
they're survivors.
If it's me or a fish, I'm going to eat the fish, Steve.
Exactly.
And if it's me, kill me or the fish. I mean, people got to work.
People got to eat.
People got to eat.
People got to work. People got to live.
Right.
Why? He ain't heavy. He's my brother.
They're holding the life of a small animal that could be reproduced somewhere else above the economic well-being of these farmers.
Indeed. And these people are providing food
exactly
to the state of California.
Some of the best
crops, if not the U.S.
Some of the best crops in the state in the country come out of that area.
So, is that where we got our spinach E. coli from a few years back?
Well, probably not out of
the farmers. Delta smelt was fighting back.
Exactly. PETA put a statement out. Actually, they were trying to poison us.
That's exactly the Delta smelt.
The Delta smelt.
We'll show you.
Yeah, we'll show you.
We're going to set up a
suck us
museum.
Up in your irrigation system to kill us.
Arr, we'll, I tell you, the smelt is
we'll
the
give you a bad
scourge
of
the bounding of farmland, matey.
I do what?
You can't really do that voice much without really messing it up.
Your face is really red right now.
Yeah, so, well, here's the thing. I don't know that we need to... I'm glad we could do this without getting angry. I had one person text me, said they just turned us off. You can turn us back on now.
Yeah, well, they can't hear you.
What do you think of that? Email us. Let us know. Yeah. That's what we want. We want emails at bighonkinshow@gmail.com.
Where's
Big
that, Steve?
Show. Bighonkinshow.
Bighonkinshow
at gmail.com. And for those of you, we didn't get Buck started. We need to. I think it'd be fun to get you to start.
Well, I'll maybe prepare something one day, and I'll come guest host with a political hour or something. Maybe, you know, something surely to come up with our children in Congress. So
Right. Well, it's a thing where, I don't know, it's the stupidity of that just shocks me.
Exactly.
That people are so worried about a little minnow.
Yeah.
And so, but anyhow, we've got a real-life superhero on the other side of this break, and we'll be right back after this on the Buck and Steve Show, the Big Honkin' Show.
Big Honkin' Show.
And a box of letters. Well, I was bagging up some clothes for Goodwill. And you know I had a laugh. Like the same old struggles that plagued me then are plaguing me still. But I know the road is long from the ground to glory.
You got the touch. You got the power.
Well, 4 minutes at the top of the hour, Buck and Steve show, Big Honkin' Show.
Yeah, you got to get that
on
right,
the radio. Steve. Yeah, I need to get that right. We are we're winding things down here, and I can think of no better way than to celebrate the triumph of the human spirit as we talk about a real life superhero today on the show, on this show right here today.
Okay,
where's the? I got no music. Where's the music?
Believe it or not,
there it is. I can't hear my snare. I can't hear my snare drum.
Did we pump up the snare? And
did you turn my snare drum up?
All right. Wow. We were doing so good.
I did what?
We were Albuquerque, New Mexico. Oh, we got to hurry. Professional eater Humble Bob Shout ate 33 and a half burritos. Thought you were humble there, Bob. 33 and a half burritos in 10 minutes, winning the 2009 World Burrito Eating Championship. Well, of course he did.
Right.
33 and a half burritos in 10 minutes.
Wow.
Before an excited crowd at the New Mexico State Fair, Shrout of Royersfield, Pennsylvania, finished just ahead of runner-up Hall Hoover Hunt of Jacksonville, Florida, who put down 30 burritos in the International Federation of Competitive Eating sponsored contest. There is an International Federation of Competitive Eating.
That's great.
Shrout, who won $1,500, said he didn't eat for 2 days to prepare for the competition.
Hmm.
He is a sick joker at the end of that thing, sir.
Yeah.
Competitors ate 4-ounce burritos filled with beef, beans, and green chile, each weighing a quarter of a pound. So do the math. That's like 8 pounds of burritos.
I don't do math.
Over 8 pounds of burritos. The 15 competitors paced during a brief delay as organizers made room to fit everyone on a stage. Plates stacked with 4 burritos replaced at each chair made room to fit everyone on the stage.
I'm assuming he was a large gentleman.
He was quite a lot. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, he's an average-sized
guy.
Sure,
yeah.
But listen, if you can down 33 and a half burritos right in 10 minutes, there's something special about you.
I heard recently he got a new sponsorship from Pepto-Bismol.
Exactly, exactly. And if you can do that in 10 minutes, you are a real-life superhero indeed. Had to rush through that one as we were coming into the...
Wow. Hour flies by, Steve.
Listen, fastest 60 minutes in radio every week.
It's like my pappy used to say, Steve. Friendships are like peeing on yourself. Everybody can see it, but it only brings you that warm feeling.
And with that, we'd like to thank all of you who used to sponsor us, particularly Griffin Insurance. Call them at 800-867-1503 and see what they can do for you. They're your local grains agent. I want to thank everyone for joining us on the Big Honkin' Show today, Buck. Thank you as always.
Anytime, Steve. Anytime.
For being here and completely doing your thing, man. Go celebrate International Talk Like a Pirate Day. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a good one. All right, well, as promised on the show, for those of you who are tuning in via the podcast, this is the Buck and Steve supplemental. There was a product that Buck drew my attention to that I didn't know if we could actually talk about it on the air because I'm not familiar enough with FCC regulations.
Regulations.
Spacey Pony Head.
Spacey.
So let's let you just hear that right now, the the, well, just listen.
Does the shoulder strap of your car cut into your shoulder? Is your shoulder strap too tight and annoying? Introducing the Titty Bear, the cute little guy that eliminates all those problems. Designed to make driving more comfortable, the Titty Bear snaps onto your shoulder strap and moves up and down to remove the pressure wherever you need it.
My shoulder strap used to pull so tight, I could.
And they keep going straight to
the Titty Bear. I really
the Cleveland area.
Right, the close up of the Titty Bear.
The patent pending design swivels to work from either the driver's side or passenger seat and fits all makes and models.
It swivels.
Just snap it on.
And it looks very uncomfortable.
Slide it where it relieves the pressure and drive away. The Titty Bear stays where you want it until you move it.
And they throw in the obligatory man.
My shoulder belt. Not anymore.
And the Titty Bear worked so great, he got one for himself too.
They're just
the Titty Bear is filled with soft, cushy.
It works so great. He got one for himself.
I mean, this thing place is its here, own brand of comedy.
Or anywhere you need to keep those irritating straps from digging in.
I mean, like they just go straight into the chestal area on the women.
We should post this to the website.
We will post this on the website.
They've got to see this for themselves.
It works for everyone.
It's the Titty Bear.
It is.
I was thinking about buying these for my family for Christmas.
It'd make a great Christmas present.
That's right.
Children would enjoy it. Like I am, you're really going to enjoy the comfort of the Titty Bear.
Now you
how do these people do this with a straight face?
I have no idea. They're paid actors, unlike
call
us.
Call and order your Titty Bear right now.
Call and order your Titty Bear right now. Now, here's the thing.
$14.95.
For two, you'll actually end up getting two.
Get two?
Mm-hmm.
That's a steal.
Two Titty Bears.
Two Titty Bears.
And
well, that only makes sense for certain reasons.
Here's the thing. I called the 800 number. Uh-huh. And the 800 number that commercial was not in service. However, I went to the website and called that 800 number, and it's a whole sales group thing. So,
did you order any Titty Bears?
I did not order any. I got bumped around to varying.
You would probably enjoy a Titty Bear.
We could call them
sometime.
Right now.
How is that going to work?
We could Skype it up.
Skype.
We could Skype it up. I don't know about the rules of recording, though.
Yeah, we don't really need to be sued.
That's true. We can't afford it this early on in the life of the show.
I mean, the pay is good. Don't get me wrong.
But
Steve,
my point is, in calling that number and going to the website they provide and everything, it's a legit product.
It's the Titty Bear.
It is the.
Why is that so funny?
It's not funny, except that it is the Titty Bear.
The Titty Bear.
The
Titty Bear.
Not to be confused with the supersized version they called the Tiggle Bitty Bear.
Oh, Tiggle Bitty. That's right.
Before we get into the snack known as D's, we need to probably wrap things.
Yeah. Okay. Show's hit a new rock bottom today.
Indeed. So, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm laughing too hard at myself. Number one, the whole concept of the Titty Bear amuses me. Number two, I love the term Tiggle Bitties. That phrase just...
Catch yourself there, buddy.
I'm trying. Sorry.
Get your hard look.
I do what. Huh. So, anyhow, not much to throw on there.
Yeah, I mean, the Titty Bear pretty much
I probably
itself.
Couldn't have said Tiggle Bitties.
Yeah, you may have got a phone call about that.
I might have to
ask you not come in next time.
We're going to have to just take your show off the air completely.
You're going to have to refund the sponsors yourself.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, all right. Well, folks.
Good times.
Yes, indeed. Well, everyone, thanks for joining us. Buck, thank you once again for coming back this week.
Anytime. Maybe I can come back soon.
Anything else on your mind you want to talk about before we get going?
No, nothing I can really think of off the top of my head.
All right, well. You got some messages coming through there. Right. So we're going to let you go. Everyone, thanks again for joining us. Check us back next week when we come at you with a whole new episode of the Big Honkin' Show.
O'Doyle rules.